Amen. God is good. All the time he's good. Pastor Gerald, just let me know when I'm good and ready. I'm just thankful to be in God's house this morning. We feel so blessed to get to come into his presence, to get to know that we're his child. If you're joining me live tonight or this morning on Facebook, I want to tell you thank you for welcoming Parish Christian Center into your home. And I want to tell you this morning that God has a plan. God has a plan for your life. The devil will come at you every which way, but I want you to remember that at the end of the day, nothing is coming up in between what God has for you. Nobody can take it from you. The Word says that every door that God opens, it's open for you. So many times we feel insecure because we're looking to the left and we're looking to the right and we're saying, well, God, what if the door closes because of this? Look here, the doors that God has for you, no man can shut them. No circumstance can shut them down. Nothing is going to come up in between what God has for you. Every door that God wants closed, he's closing it. Nobody can open it up, not you, not anybody. And so I feel the need to just put that out there this morning. And you know, so many times, if you're going to get in a fight with your spouse, it's going to happen on a Sunday or a Wednesday. If you're going to have kid troubles, it's going to happen on a Sunday or a Wednesday. If the pastors are going to get in a little argument between themselves, and hey, that happens, I'm not here telling you, Jeremy and I's got a perfect marriage. We spit and spat along with everybody else that's married. Glory, so we don't pretend like we don't. We just keep it real. So many things the devil tries to before you ever even set foot in this building, the devil is there and he tries to steal the word before it's ever even planted. And so what I want to ask you this morning, we're going to get everything to where we can allow the Holy Spirit to come in and minister so that the word can fall on the ground that it should. I'm going to ask you this morning, I just feel that need because I feel some things in my own self. And so if you feel distracted this morning, if you came in here and you're aggravated, if you came in here and you're overwhelmed and you're worried and you're stressed and you think that your mind is going to want to go to that place, I'm going to ask you to stand because, see, the devil wants to steal the word before the word even goes out. And so I want to create a place where we've taken a hold and we've taken authority over any hindrance that would try to come forth and take that word out of your heart. Because, see, God's word will never return void. But let me tell you something. The word needs to be planted. The word needs to be able to go forth and fall on ground that can receive it. And there the devil is at 3 a.m. keeping you up. So when you are here and you did come, you're tired and you're falling asleep or you're worried or you're irritated. Maybe you had something go on right before. Look here. God said in his word in the very beginning, he said, now have dominion. Have dominion. See, when the devil comes at you every which way, there's something and it's called the standard. God says, when the enemy comes in like a flood, I will raise up a standard against it. Let me tell you this right here, make no mistake. Today there's going to be a standard made in this place. We will not allow hindrances, distractions, irritations, worries, threats, marital problems, family problems. Give God what you can give them. Give them your attention, your affection. God, in Jesus' name, Lord, I pray right now, God, for every person in this building at Parish Christian Center today. God, I pray for every one of them that's in their home, Lord, and they're logged on. God, and right now, I take the authority, God, that you gave me, Lord, as your child. And I just speak to you any hindrance, God, and I tell it to be gone right now. Lord, I thank you for your word. God, I'm not going to ask you to bless it because, God, your word is blessed. But God, I ask you right now, search every heart. God, open every heart. Lord, open our understanding so we can understand what you're trying to plant in us today. And God, I thank you right now that we leave here changed. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, you know, God has worked on me this week, and he's put such a message in my heart, and it began on Thursday night in recovery. If you're missing Celebrate Recovery, you're missing something great. Celebrate Recovery is for every person. There's something there in it for everyone. And you know, when y'all succeed, that's a success for me. When you're happy, I'm happy. I'm in it to win it. I'm in it to win souls. I'm going to plant something in there today that's going to help us. Because so many times that spirit of inadequacy wants to fall on God's kids. There's always something making you want to look at some other circumstance and making you feel inadequate, making you feel inferior, making you feel like you're not good enough, like you're not successful enough, like you're not doing enough, like you're not a good enough mother, like you're not a good enough dad, like you're not a good enough husband or wife, like you're not a good enough child of God. See, there's always something in there that just poking and poking and poking and making you feel like you're not good enough. Like you're not enough. Like anything that you do, it's not good enough. And I want to tell you this morning, that's a lie. If the devil's come into that heart and he's made you feel like that this week, then this message is for you. If you have a tendency to look at situations and feel like, ugh, I'm not good enough, or I'm still not this, or I'm still not that, I want to speak to that person today because, see, God wants to put a change there. There's a thing, and it's called self-love. The word says, love your neighbor as yourself. Now, there's a boundary. There's a line. But I want to preach to you this morning, and I want to teach you, there has to be that amount of self-love. There has to be. It's not good for you to wake up every day and feel terrible about yourself. So many times this past week, I found myself in the middle of that. I can be real about it. Look here, I tell all my business. I don't even care. Why? Because you know what? That's how I keep myself in check. You wanna help people? Be real. Be honest. Tell them when you're not successful. Tell them when you fail. Let them see. Let them see that you're not perfect. So let's go to Numbers chapter 13 this morning. We're going to look at Verse 26, I want to tell you today that you are good enough. I want to tell you this morning that you are enough. I want to tell you that God has a plan for you, and that plan is going to involve you looking at yourself and realizing you're not that dirty, terrible person you're telling yourself that you are. And you say, well, Pastor Kelly, I don't tell that to myself. Look here, everybody on a bad day, they're going to think some negative thoughts about themselves. And it's hard. It's hard when we get in that rut and we feel like nothing we do is good enough. Nothing we do is right. The devil will get people trapped in that for years. They don't get out of it. They become backwards. They can't do this. They can't do that. Look here. God told you, you can do it. All things are possible. All things are possible to them that believe. So let's look at Numbers here, chapter 13, and we're going to look at verse 26. And it says, they came back to Moses and Aaron and the whole Israelite community at Kadesh in the desert of Paran. And they reported to them and to the whole assembly and showed them the fruit of the land. So I'm going to lay the scene for you. Moses was leading them out, and he was leading them to the promised land that God told them he would give to them. God told them, Moses, get together some guys. I want you to send them out, and I want you to send them to that land. And I want a report. I want them to go, and I want them to check it out for you. Well, that's a smart thing. I'd like to know what you're getting up into before you get there, everybody. So he sent some people out, and he said, look, go there. Tell us. Go look. Go check it out. Go inspect it. So here he is. He sent those people out, and they gave Moses this account. We went into the land to which you sent us, and it does flow with milk and honey. So they said, you know what? We went there, Moses, and it was great. We loved it. See, there's things in our lives. You know God has something good for you. You know God's not a man that he should lie to you, and you know he wants to bring some things about. There's little things, little glimpses of things you've experienced, and you know God has something greater. You know there's something more coming for you. And you go to these places in your mind. You go to these places in your heart. You go to these places in your daydreams and see, and you realize, God, yes, you do have something good for me. But see, every time you make that connection in your heart, the devil's there to make you feel like something's wrong with you. You can't have it completely. I want to tell you, that's a lie. That's a lie. You can have what God told you you can have. You can have that family. You can have that marriage. You can have that business. You can have a health and wealth and provision and favor. See, you can. That's for you. That's for you. Who else would it be for? You're God's kid. You're his kid. I got to get you to believe in that stuff is for you. Amen? And so they went there and they said, Moses, man, they got milk, they got honey, man, that land, oh my gosh. They just began, they loved it. They loved it. Here is its fruit. They brought back stuff from there. They brought back stuff. Okay, but the people who live there are powerful. Here we go. Here's what we do. We all human. We all have our days. Here's what we do. We see something great. We love it. We love the way it looks. We see that it's good. We know it. We're like, oh, that's so great. But, well, I could never have that. I've gone too far for that. No? And you begin to talk yourself up out of some stuff. Look here. What did I say in the beginning? What God has for you, nobody can take it away. But you look here. You can disqualify yourself just by your own thinking. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Are you a victorious person, or are you somebody that every day the devil can come up into your psyche and steal the victory up in your mind? See, what are you? Because whatever you are, whatever you're thinking, whatever you're telling yourself, see, it's coming out. If you think that, you know what, God, I've got the victory, you said in your word, I don't care what it looks like, God, I'm going on and I claim the victory, you're going to have some victory. If you say, God, now I know you said I got the victory, but everything is looking terrible and it's just terrible. It's never going to change. Look here, you're going to have some bad, bad days because they started bad up in your mind. There's no room for that. You got to slack that off. Get it out of there. You don't have room for that type of thinking. So they said to Moses, here is the fruit, but the people who live there are powerful. And the cities are fortified and very large. So many times we're looking at other people, and by the looks of them, we're disqualifying ourselves because of how somebody else is. Look here, it don't matter about anybody else. See? If God wants to do something for you, it ain't dependent on Sally Sue and what Sally Sue's got going on. God's got it for you. When God tells you, I've got this for you and it's big, don't be looking at whoever and be like, that's great, God, but, well, you couldn't possibly give that to me because I've messed up, and look at this person. They didn't mess up in that area of their life, so I don't know, God. And you start talking yourself out of the blessing. Look here. All you got to do, be the person. Be the person that God's told you to be. Be the best version of that person. I was on the phone this week. And a lot of things, I just have to talk them out loud. Just got to tell it. I just got to get it out, Brother John, or I'll just burst with it. I'll have a nervous breakdown just by not talking something out loud. And I got on the phone with somebody, and I just began to talk, and just began to talk it out. And I said, you know what, really the heart of the matter is this. It doesn't matter how much I do. I feel like it's never enough. See, get to the heart of the matter of what's going on with you. Get to the heart of the matter. What's slowing you down? Are you that person where it doesn't matter how much you do, you feel like it's not good enough? You feel like it's not enough? You feel like it won't work? You still feel like it's going to be a rip-roaring, failing mess? Get that out of you. Get it out of you. It's holding you back. It's holding you back. See, you know the thing that God put inside of you, because when you're by yourself, when you're in your car, when you're going to bed, it's that thing, and you're daydreaming about that, and you say, boy, I got that in my heart. Look here. God put it there. God put it there. Stop telling yourself it won't happen. Stop telling yourself it can't happen. Start telling yourself, God, you said it. I believe it. God, I receive it. See, when the angel came to Mary, Jesus' mother, she was like, okay, well, how is this going to be? Because I've never been with a man, but here you are, and you're telling me that I'm going to birth the Savior of the whole world. And he told her. And you know what Mary did? Key game move. She looked and she said, you know what? Exactly what you've said. Okay. I'm going with that. See, when God puts something in there, when he tells you, get to that point in your life where it don't matter if it's the most outlandish thing. Train yourself. God, you said it. Okay. I'm not going to worry about the details of it, Lord. I'm not going to compare myself and figure out every reason why this can't happen for me. God, you said it, and I believe it. God, wherever you guide, Lord, I know that you're going to provide. Get that deep down in you, because, see, God is never on the losing end. He doesn't want you to be either. God is never late. There's some things you've got to place up in there. So here they are, and it says that these people that live here, they're powerful, their cities are fortified, and they're very large. There's a lot of them. They're big. Man, these people, they're huge. There's lots of them. Everything's great about this place, but, you know, and they begin to talk themselves out of that. And it says, but the people who live there, they're powerful, their cities are fortified, and they're very large. We even saw descendants of Anak there. The Amalekites live in the Negev. The Hittites, the Jebusites, the Amorites live in the hill country, and the Canaanites. Man, they was all living up in there, and they were saying, it's great, but we don't want none of them. They something. And then Caleb silenced the people before Moses and said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. See, God needs one person to say, God, I don't care what's going on. You said it. We can do it. God, you said it's going to happen. Lord, I'm not going to ask you how. It's good enough for me, God, that you said it. Caleb said, hey, look here. Silence. We ain't talking like this. Let's go. God, you promised that land. We're taking it. God needs a go-getter. God needs somebody that's just going to say, you know what? Look here. God told me that's mine. I'm getting it. I'm getting it. So Caleb told him, he said, we need to do it. We can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They're stronger. And here we go. Here is a classic problem from the very moment humanity came into existence. The comparing game. Here we go. Look here, folks. Anytime you're going to compare yourself to something else, to somebody else, you're going to lose. You're going to always find something that somebody else has got that you feel like you don't. You're going to always find somebody prettier. You're going to always find somebody, they look more successful. You're going to always find somebody, they look like they got it more together. A lot of us mamas, we do this with our kids. We'll look at somebody else's kids and we'll say, oh, I'm a terrible parent. Look at mine's hanging from the chandeliers, and theirs is just, they got 10 of them, I got 2 of them, and everybody's good in this family. What is up? Look here. 1.5 years of pastoring, you know what I've learned? Ain't nothing like what it looks like. Brother Charlie, didn't take long for me to realize that little nit one. Look here. Them 10 kids is probably terrible too. All right? Stop looking at other people. Stop looking at that. That's going to mess you up in your mind. See, the devil wants you to look everywhere besides looking to God. Stop looking at other things. Stop looking at other people. Look here. If you feel like, God, you called me to something, but I'm not equipped to that. Look here. He ain't calling everybody and they're all equipped. Look here. He's going to call the person. He'll equip them. He'll give them what they need. God don't need us to tell him how his plan ain't working. He needs us to go with the plan. Go with the plan. Go with it. So here these guys are, and they're going, oh, my God, look here. We can't do that, and we're going to tell you why. For one, they're stronger. And they're spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they had explored. So look here. They got scared. Many people get scared of change. They get scared of what God has. They get scared of the call. They get scared of whatever. And so then they begin to just speak negatively about it. You ever been so scared about something and you just thought, I'm going to talk myself out of it. So you just begin to talk bad about that thing. No, it really wasn't as great as I thought. No, I really don't want that. And you just start talking yourself out of it. When really, you know that's what God has for you. So they said here, we can't attack them. They're stronger. They're spread among the Israelites a bad report about the land they'd explored. And they said, the land we explored devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. They're saying, they're bigger than us. They're better than us. There's more of them than us. They began to compare. See, God done told them that was their land. God done promised that to them. But they got to looking around. They got to looking around at the situation. Got to looking around at the scenario. Got to looking around at everybody else that was already up in their land. They're going, they're bigger than us. We can't go up in there. Look here. I got a nephew, and he'll be here tonight. He's with his daddy. But Riley is 5, and he's the tiniest little 5-year-old that I know. He's tiny. And Riley, one of the things that I have always liked and respected about that kid is this right here. He'll pick the biggest kid, and it's usually my kid, Colton. He's a gentle giant. Look here, if he's in the nursery, he's going to get the biggest one. If he's at the school, he's going to go and find the biggest kid there is. He ain't intimidated by that. He go up to him and listen, just stalk the fire out of him. Look here. Stop looking around at everything that you think is bigger than you. You're making yourself feel small. You're not small. God's got something great for you. God's got greatness for you. He has success for you. Get to telling yourself, man, I'm a successful person. Plant that. Plant it in your own life. So he said, the land we explored, it devours those living in it. All the people we saw there are of great size. We saw the Nephilim there, the descendants of Anak come from the Nephilim. We seemed like grasshoppers in our own eyes. How do you see yourself? They're saying here, look, compared to these people, we're like grasshoppers. They're huge. They're better than us. Everything about this whole thing is off. The biggest part of your breakthrough, how are you seeing yourself? How do you see your family? How do you see your life? Are you constantly telling yourself, everybody's better than me? This can't happen. That coworker's better than me. That coworker has more favor. This person this and this person that. God wants you to forget about all the other people. Don't worry about them. If God told you he set you apart, he did. If God called you his own, you are. If God told you, I'm going to put this in your life, it's not because you deserve it. It's not because you've earned it. It's because you're my kid. I've told you I'm going to do this, and I need you to stand in that place where you know I'm going to do it. I need you to stand in that place where you know beyond the shadow of a doubt it's coming to pass. You got to be rock solid in your faith that God's bringing it about. That God's bringing it about. There's so many times where I feel defeated. There's so many times. Why is it important for the pastor to get up here and say this about their own selves? Look here. Of course we want to come off looking strong. Of course we want to come off looking together. But look here. That doesn't do y'all any good if I don't just tell it like it is. Keisha, yes, I have problems in my own life feeling inadequate. I can look at other churches and I can feel less than. But you know what? Every time I do, there's that little seed in me that rises up and says, Kelly, you're slipping up, girl. Because the thing that I have for you, it's not dependent on anybody else. It's not dependent on this place doing that, the other person doing this, these people have this. Look here, the thing that God has, ain't nobody taking that from you. God wants you to know He's got you. Stop letting that be shaken. Colton. My five-year-old, that kid, to be so big, he's such a soft-hearted little person. And I'm like, how are you so big and you're such a pushover? I mean, I tell him, look here, when your brother whacks you, Colton, I want you to lay him out. Don't you put up with that. Sock him. I don't care. He hits you first, you get him. He's got a very tender heart. And he comes multiple times in a day. He's crying, Brother John. I'm like, the kid's almost as big as me, and he's five. And I'm like, what are we crying about? I just want to know. That's, okay, there's only so many times a day I can do this. I'm trying to be a good mother, and gets old after the 37th time, but he does. He's got tears, and it's really a big deal. I'm like, okay, and I'm going to get eye level with him. All right, tell me what's going on. Well, Carson said... just starts telling me. You know what I started doing to him, Diana? I get him. I get eye level with him. I hold him. I embrace him. And I said, look here, Colton. Because see, God wants to tell us this today. Colton, it don't matter what Carson says. Colton, it don't matter what Carson does. Colton, Carson doesn't have the authority to do that. I'm going to tell that to you. I'm getting everybody together. I'm huddling you up right now. See, the loving hands of Christ wants to come over you. He wants to tell you right now, look here, it don't matter. Nothing else matters except for His word. Nothing else matters except for what He told you. We're all wrapped up in everything but what He said. Stick with what He said. Don't be all undone and unraveled by the details of why it couldn't happen. The details of why it won't happen. Look here. God's never lied. He has a perfect track record. Do our lives get so messy that we're thinking, God, I'm not sure even you yourself can fix that, but okay. Oh, yeah. Man, I've had some waters in my life so muddied up. I've had eggs so scrambled up. I thought, oh, my good golly molly. Are you sure? I know you're God, but are you sure? Because this is messed up. Look here. God has the ability, the want to, the means, the power, the authority to take every single situation, turn it around for your good and His glory. He does. There's nothing that's too hard for the Lord. The one thing that slows you down is that thing inside of you that wants to constantly compare and figure out why everything is good for everybody else, but it can't be for you. Yes, it can. It can and it will. So they said, look, guys, these people are better than us. We could never have that. We, even to ourselves, we're like grasshoppers compared to them. Look here. You know what I've learned? Size doesn't matter. Size doesn't matter. The other day I had Riley over at my house, and he just socked the fire out of Colton. I'm looking at Colton, and I'm wondering, why didn't you stalk the fire right back at him? But I looked at Riley, and I said, Riley, aren't you afraid of Colton? He said, no, I'll sock him again. Look here. I don't condone kids whooping up on each other, but let me tell you something. There's a part in that that's a good aspect. When I was a little girl, we rode a school bus. I learned some awful things on the school bus. Can y'all relate? My God. All of the terrible things, that's where I learned them from. I used to get myself up in between them seats and do flips till the bus driver gave me a job. I got to open the door because, see, he didn't want me doing them flips. I was the kid that you had to give them a job or you was going to have terrible troubles with that kid. I was that kid. So if you got a kid like that, look how great I turned out. I mean, you know, I'm not too terrible. So he gave me a job. And my job, at the end of the day, because that's when I was really wired up. Most kids, they tire out by the end of the day. Not me. Nope, I'm raring to go. I done got my second win, by golly. We're going to raise some terror up in this bus. He said, Kelly, just stand at the bus and open the door and let the kids in, let them out. Brother John, I let that door open. I said, come on in, heathen. Come on in. Daddy got a call. She's calling all the other kids heathens. Another time on the bus, I will never forget this. I was probably about 7 years old. See, I've always had that defending type of personality. And we was in the back of the bus, and there was a teenage boy. Casey and I are 5 years apart. So she was a teenager. Well, she's about 13, 14 years old, not as little. And he was messing with her in a way I didn't like. And I kept telling him, you better quit messing with my sister, because, see, I'm going to put a hurt on you. This kid was about 16, 17 years old. He's older than both of us. I kept telling him, you better knock it off. That's my sister you're messing with. Well, one day he just went 1 inch too far. I went right up to him, Kayla, and I socked him right up in the nose. That's where our family gets it from. I ain't going to tell you where I get it from. We all know. And I just socked this guy. Man, the biggest sock a little girl can give somebody. I just socked that kid, man, right up in his nose, and it just shocked him. And it embarrassed him that a little tiny girl would just punch him right up in the face. And it embarrassed him so bad, Megan, he felt the need to get back at me. He got a hold of me, and he got my little hands, he got a hold of both of me, and he just started shaking me. And he said, well, what are you going to do now? See, so many times in your life, you think that the devil's got a hold of you. You think that the situation's got a hold of you. You think it's bigger than you. It may be bigger than you. But look here, ain't nothing bigger than God. Ain't nothing too far from the reach of God that he has over your life. See, when your kids have gone off and they've embarrassed you, they've done things that they're not proud of, you've done things that you're not proud of, and you feel like you're in a hindering thing, and everything's got a hold of you, look here, and the devil's shaking you, and he's saying, what you gonna do now? You know what? You don't need to skip a beat because you need to know who you are. Keisha, I didn't skip a beat. You know what I did? I've always been very quick on my thinking. I hawked the biggest loogie that I could muster up. I mean, I got that snot that had been building up for weeks up in there. I was raised in the country. We played with mice. I got the mice out of the barn. Look here. I look all sophisticated, but don't let this fool you. They don't call me Kelly Mae for no reason. I get down and get rough with whoever they're going to mess with something I care about. I got to hawking that loogie. Here he was, and he was still shaking me. I hawked that thing right in his face, and he instantly let go. What is the loogie? The Word. The Word. Why do I get up here and say, get up into your Word? Because you know how many times the devil wants to get a hold of you and shake you? Have you not noticed last year where you're shaken to where you feel like nothing else could be shaken? Where you're shaken to the point where you were so weary, you thought, God, I'm so weary, I can't even pray? See? What is the loogie? The loogie is the Word of God. Most problems with the believers, they don't know the Word. Why? Because they haven't taken time from the Netflix. They haven't taken time from fighting with their husband, fighting with their wife. They haven't taken time to plant the Word and apply it to their life. It's not enough for your pastor to stand up here and read a couple Bible verses for you. Look here, that ain't enough. If you're spiritually starving, don't blame me or Pastor Jeremy. That's on you, boo-boo. It's on you, because it ain't enough. It ain't enough. You got to get up in here. You got to read the Word, because see, when life and the devil wants to grab a hold of you and it starts shaking you, you're going to come up with the verse that's going to address that issue. See, a bad spirit came to Jesus and it said, if you're really who you say that you are, throw yourself off. Command the angels to come after you. What did Jesus do? He spoke the Word. See, if Jesus himself had to speak the Word, what are you doing not knowing the Word? You don't think something's going to come at you? Yes, it will. He spoke the Word and he said, look here, man doesn't live by bread alone, but it lives out of every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Get into your Bible. Read it. When God tells you he wants to do something for you, don't be looking over here and saying, well, that can't happen for me because I'm still stuck in the art of comparing myself to other people. Don't do that. Don't do that. Know who you are in Jesus. Know who you are in Jesus. Let's go to Psalms chapter 139. Are y'all loving this? I hope so. Because if not, you got about 20 more minutes of it. Psalm 139, we're going to look at verse 13 and 14. It's not enough for me to just say, stop your stinking thinking. I got to give you a Bible and verse for you to do that. I get it. I've been a mother now for almost 10 years. I know it's not good enough for me to just say, because I said so, I know that should work. I give them reason not to go throw themselves off the cliff. Something bad going to happen to you if you do that, okay? Don't do that. Don't put your hand up over the fire. It's going to burn you. So why am I telling you don't compare yourself? Stop telling yourself you can't. Stop telling yourself it won't work out. Psalm 139, verse 13 and 14. I'm so glad to hear the rustling of Bibles up in this place. Bring your Word. Bring your Word. I could read you anything. You need to make sure I'm telling you the truth. Lucas is going, what? Look here, Lucas, I pull a lot of stuff, bro. Psalm 139, verse 13. For you created my inmost being, and you knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. God didn't make junk when it came to you. God hasn't labeled you a second-class citizen. He's not so messed up about what you're so messed up about. See, we'll think of every reason why we messed up so bad that something couldn't possibly be for us. We'll look at the situation and we'll dissect it and we'll overthink it and we'll pick it apart to where we feel like it could never be right. When God puts something in order, it's in order. When something's broken and God mends it, it's mended. Why do we not compare ourselves? We were made in his image. You think God's going around comparing himself to things? No. He's God. He knows who he is. I'm just asking you to know who you are. You won't possibly know that to its fullest till you get in his word and the word begins to tell you just exactly who you are. Who are you? You're his kid. Who are you? You're his child. Who are you? You're the victorious one coming out on the top. Who are you? You're the head and not the tail. Who are you? You're the one that's above and not beneath. Who are you? You're the apple of his eye. Who are you? You're the one that he gave his son for. You have to know who you are. Satan is there to sift people. This is a day and age where he's sifting so many people, so many things. Wake up every morning knowing, God, I have a keen sense of just exactly who I am. God, I'm exactly who you say I am. Nothing more, nothing less. Doesn't have to be anything more. Doesn't have to be anything less. Be who God said. When that vision's there and you're thinking, see, there's people and God's put something there and you're thinking, how could that ever be? Brother John, I believe God's putting some things in you. You're thinking, how could it be? How will it work? Look here. Because he said. Because he said. There's so many things at this point in my life. I think, God? Okay. I learned something. This pandemic helped this old girl. Look here. When God makes you do the things you told God you weren't never going to do and you get to doing them, you're going to have a better attitude. God, do you want me to go back outside with the dogs fighting? Because, Lord, I'm going. That halfway entertained me. Let's go. See? Get yourself where you know who you are. How do you know it? Get into his word. Don't compare anymore. God made you. He formed you and he knit you together in your mother's womb. He created you in his image. He did that because there's nothing he wouldn't do for you. There's nothing he didn't already do. Luke chapter 18, verse 9-4. And here's a good example of people comparing. And so it says, to some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everybody else, Jesus told this parable. See, we think that this stuff, no, this ain't just happening right now. This has been going on forever. People always looking at each other, always being like, well, I'm better than them or they're better than me. Look here, this has gone on since the beginning of time. And it's a time waste. It's a time waste. And so Jesus said, two men went up to the temple to pray. One a Pharisee and see the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood up and he prayed about himself. God, I thank you that I am not like other men. Because God, I'm so much better than everybody else. And I make sure everybody knows that I'm better. You know any of those people? I do. God, I thank you that I'm not like other men, those robbers and the evildoers and the adulterers and even like the tax collectors. I fast twice a week, God, and I'm better. I fast twice a week, and Lord, I give a tenth of everything that I have. See, you don't got to toot your own horn. God will toot it for you. Ain't nobody better than nobody. But yet, in our darkest moments, when we're having a bad day, we're coming up with why we're not as good as anybody else. Why what we're doing isn't good enough. Look here. This stuff's been going on forever. But the tax collector stood at a distance, and he would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. So you got somebody else, and he's going, God, I'm just terrible. I'm a sinner. Lord, I'm not even going to tell you all what I do, but Lord, I do it. I'm not even going to look at you, God, because I don't even feel good enough to look at you. I don't even feel good enough to look up to heaven. See? Where are you this morning? Are you the person that you think you're too good? Or are you the person that you think you're not good enough? Be you. Be who God said that you are. Okay? And then it says, I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home and he was justified before God. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. Look here. I read this story to us because I wanted you to see, look, don't compare. Don't compare. You're gonna come up losing. Don't compare stuff. If you got a business, don't compare your business to other people's businesses. God will do whatever he told you he would do. If you've got a marriage and you're looking at everybody else's marriage and you're saying, well, my marriage isn't as great as theirs. They got it all together. What are they doing right that I'm not? If you've got kids and your kids are driving you crazy, and you see everybody else's kids and everybody else's kids seem like they're just wonderful, stop looking at that stuff. Be comfortable being who you are, being who God told you that you are. Last place for me, Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at verse 1 and 2. There's so many things God's got for you. So many awesome things that he's wanting to do. So many dreams, so many things that he's put in your heart. What I've learned in 2020 is this right here. It's not a matter of you just making and fighting for something to happen. If you'll let it, if you'll step back and you'll just say, God, I'm not going to fight and this and worry and stress and stay up all night worrying about if this is going to work and all of this stuff. God, I'm going to take a step back. Holy Spirit, I thank you for the peace of God that's coming up into this heart. God, I'm going to let it happen. I'm going to let it happen. See, what did God tell you he'd do? You don't got to slit somebody else's throat for it to come through. But you cannot afford to look at somebody else and disqualify yourself. You'll always lose when you're comparing. If you can be comfortable being the person that God made you to be, and if you can be comfortable instead of looking to the left or to the right, if you can just be comfortable when you feel that moment of you're being overwhelmed or stressed or inadequate, if you won't look to the left or the right, if you'll just look up, that's all that you need. That's all that you need. See, why are we talking about simple things like this? Because even me this week, I found myself in just a whirlwind of just inadequacy. I preach out of the overflow of what's going on inside of me. Why? Because when it is, I know that God wants to just bring it about for everybody. So Colossians chapter 3, verse 1 and 2. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above. Set your hearts on things above. If I can give you the best piece of advice, I'm going to tell you, let everything else go. Set your heart in the right place. Wherever your treasure is, there your heart's going to be also. Get your heart in check. Set that heart like you're setting a clock for a certain time, a certain thing. Get your heart set on above. Why? Because God is the most innovative, awesome creator, daddy God that's ever been, that will ever be. Since then you have been raised with Christ. Set your hearts on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things above and not earthly things. It's an earthly thing to constantly be living in the land of comparison. Let yourself off of that hook. Allow yourself to be free to be who God told you to be. Verse 15 through 17. Let See, there we go. Let. God wants to put this in somebody today. Let. 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 You're going to wear yourself out thin. You're going to be edging. You're going to be moody if you're fighting for something that you don't even got control over. Do we all realize we got control over very little? I can't even control what I put in my mouth about 90% of the time, okay? I'm like, no, I will not eat that, little Debbie. And the other, the bad Kelly, oh, yes, you are. You're going to eat all the little Debbies. I've been wondering what's going on with the scale. It's me. And to narrow it down, it's them Magnum ice cream cones with the caramel and the chocolate. And I've been eating them. I can't even control it. I said, Jeremy, we're getting rid of them things. Or else I'm going to be 500 pounds next week. We got control of very little. What I've learned, let it happen. Let it happen. The devil will keep you in a world where you're constantly fighting at every which end, and you're fighting within yourself, and you're fighting in your mind because you're just doggone well going to have it happen, and you're going to make it happen, and all that, and you get all this anxiety, and you can't even go to bed at night. Let it happen. Let God be God. Let it. Let. Let the peace of Christ rule in your heart. See, something's ruling in there. Make no mistake. There's a ruler over your heart. Is it fear, worry, stress, anxiety, depression? Is it the peace of God that passes all understanding? See, something's up in there ruling. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts. Since as members of one body, you are called to peace. See, did you know you were called to peace? And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. Why am I not getting off of that gravy boat of getting the word in you? Because the word is supposed to live in you. Not a visitation on Sundays and Wednesdays. It's supposed to dwell there. Get it in there. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom, and as you sing songs, hymns, and spiritual songs and gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, whether it's in word, whether it's in deed, do it all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. I hope that this word has fallen exactly where it should have today. I hope that it's been planted deep inside of there, because God's got something awesome for you. I want to appeal to the person, and you've had trouble here lately letting peace rule in your heart. For one reason or another, you find yourself always being worked up about something, always being stressed about something. Doesn't matter what you do, it seems like you're living in a land where you're just, You feel it inside of you, and yet you can't make it stop. There's that peace that you want, but you can't get it up in there. If that's you, I'm going to ask you to stand. If you're sitting in your chair at your home, if you're in your recliner, if you're on your couch, if you're in your bed, if you're in your car, I'm going to ask you, wherever you're at right now, put that hand over your heart, because, see, God wants to make a heart change right here. Wherever there's a heart change, there's a game changer. Lord God, in Jesus' name, God, I thank you right now. Lord, I know that you're walking down every aisle. God, you're searching every heart. Father God, only you can do that. God, right now, I thank you for your peace. God, in Jesus' name, a peace that passes all understanding. I speak to every amount of stress and worry and fear and anxiety and depression in this place, and I bind it up right now. And God, we welcome peace right now. In Jesus' name, Lord, let it be so. In Jesus' name, amen. We love you guys so much. We will be here at 5:30 tonight. We hope that you'll join us.